If you plan to vote by mail this year in the United States, our top story today deserves a read. Back in March, President Donald Trump issued an executive order that, in part, restricted mail-in ballots. Lawsuits from Democratic-led states and advocacy groups followed. Now, with the 2026 midterm elections approaching, questions remain over how voting by mail might look. Henry Gass and Caitlin Babcock have answers. Also, it's been 6 months since the start of the U.S. war with Iran. We've got a trio of related stories for you. The conflict was supposed to last a few weeks. Instead, it has dragged on for half a year without an end in sight. It could have far-reaching consequences for how America is viewed around the world. Mark Sappenfield reports. Stated goals included denuclearization, destroying missile supplies, curbing terrorist proxies, and possible regime change. The campaign has resulted in a different objective: to reopen a vital waterway that wasn't closed at the outset. Anna Mulrine Groby reports. Also, the U.S. is one of the most powerful nations in the world, but some other countries appear increasingly willing to push back against Washington and refuse to bend to its policy goals. Columnist Ned Temko shares his analysis. It's Friday, August 28th. This is the Monitor Daily Podcast. Good morning, I'm Mackenzie Farkas. First, our curation of news briefs from Reuters and Wire Services. Many of these are developing stories. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbriefs or on our app. A federal immigration agent sought for extradition was released from jail in Texas Thursday. Christian Castro, a U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement officer, had been detained in Texas since late May after prosecutors in Minnesota filed charges against him relating to a January incident where he shot and wounded a fleeing suspect. Minnesota officials had called on Texas Governor Greg Abbott to extradite Mr. Castro to Minnesota. On Wednesday, a federal judge denied Minnesota's request to make Texas keep Mr. Castro in jail until it decides on his extradition. Mr. Castro could still be extradited. Texas said in legal filings that his case is still being investigated by Texas authorities. Donald Trump signed an executive order changing the name of Lake Ontario. The order to make it Lake America, which the president says is effective immediately, comes amid trade disputes between the U.S. and Canada, which shares part of the lake. Over the weekend, President Trump announced 50% tariffs on Canadian goods. When the president similarly renamed the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America last year, the Interior Department and Google complied, but much of the world did not. Also, former Bosnian Serb general Radko Mladic died in prison in The Hague. Mr. Mladic was serving a life sentence for war crimes committed during the Bosnian War in the 1990s. He was sentenced in 2017 for his role in the conflict, which left over 100,000 people dead. He commanded forces responsible for the 1995 Srebrenica massacre, where more than 8,000 Muslim men and boys were killed. Despite his conviction, Mr. Mladic remained defiant, never expressing remorse. UN officials confirmed his death in a prison hospital. Now, more of today's Monitor stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com or our app for the latest news. The Trump administration wants to put tougher vetting in place for mail-in voting. Despite a preliminary Supreme Court win this week, it remains to be seen if new rules will go into effect before the midterms, with a number of lawsuits in play. Henry Gass and Caitlin Babcock report for The Monitor. Meta agreed to new rules for minors on its social platforms as part of a legal settlement. Children's advocates say another key role in online safety for kids belongs to parents. Cindy Carcamo reports for The Monitor. In Sudan, local journalists are being targeted by rival military forces. That's making it harder for them to report on the civil war and the humanitarian crisis that the UN says is the worst in the world. Contributor Matt Nashed reports from Cairo for The Monitor. Games played within the Essex Baseball Organization operate on the honor system. Players call their own outs and referee the games. They maintain a friendly energy, though some calls are lightly debated. And ultimately, the day isn't about winning or losing. Melanie Stetson Freeman and Kalena Onakwa report from Newbury, Massachusetts for The Monitor. Check out this photo essay at csmonitor.com/daily. Now, commentary from The Monitor's editorial board on how Americans are searching for a nonpartisan politics. A full 45% of American adults identify as political independents. That's far higher than the share, 27% each, who say they are either Democrats or Republicans, according to a 2026 report by Gallup. Nationally, according to another source, one-fifth of voters are so independent that they do not vote consistently for one party or the other. Yet only 3 out of 535 members of Congress are independents. Two senators, one each from Maine and Vermont, and one representative from California. This growing gap between public preference and the composition of Congress has prompted a retired senator, Joe Manchin, and his daughter, Heather, to launch an initiative to spur more election bids by candidates not tied to a party. The aim of their independent leadership council is to mentor, fund, and otherwise support independent candidates for Congress. During his nearly 15 years representing West Virginia as a Democrat, Mr. Manchin often bucked the party line and believes that doing so can help a lawmaker lessen partisan gridlock. He became an independent in 2024, a year before retiring from the Senate. "We're not trying to start another party," Mr. Manchin told CNN in July, "but to mentor and fund individuals totally committed to being independent with an independent voice. They can vote with Democrats and Republicans when they're right," he said, "and speak out against them when they're wrong." Given the nation's founding principles, what could be more American than exercising independent judgment? Communities across the United States are seeking common ground and compromise in civic life, and are trying to uncover new perspectives and ideas to address political and social challenges. Researchers have identified key differences in how unaligned voters and those registered as Democrats or Republicans frame key issues. Those with declared party affiliations simply mirror the information gained from political leaders or partisan social media and news outlets. That's according to a 2024 report in The Conversation based on a review of 10 years of opinion surveys. In contrast, independents' political views and perspectives reflect the economic and social conditions they see and experience every day. Reflecting this sentiment, the number of independents contesting House and Senate races shot up to 217 this year, about 80 more than in 2024. The surge reflects deep dissatisfaction with the two-party system, Newsweek reported in July. Surveys show nearly 60% of U.S. adults hold unfavorable views of both parties. But candidates not linked to a major party, Newsweek noted, face steep structural barriers to being elected. These include fundraising, signature requirements to get on ballots, and limited campaign infrastructure. Despite the challenges, many candidates are impelled by the desire to steer political discourse toward civility and issues that matter most to ordinary citizens. One of them is Adam Withrow, a Coloradan running for the U.S. Senate. "We have this false dichotomy of two parties, that we have two choices and nothing else is relevant," he told Colorado Public Radio on Wednesday. "We need to, at very least, widen that conversation." That's a process and opportunity that Americans across the political spectrum can get behind. The stories you just heard are from today's newsletter. Find these stories and more at csmonitor.com or on our app. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcasts. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how As we yield up our own plans in favor of God's will, which is always good, we find that step by step, harmony awaits us. Find the full column at csmonitor.com/csperspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Clay Collins and Ian Case.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor in Boston, Massachusetts, United States of America. Copyright 2026.